Well, I had a little bit of a impromptu work day yesterday, and there were some things around my house that needed to get done, and I couldn't find a lot of people, so it was like me, another adult, and a whole bunch of youth, and in case you guys are wondering, I didn't expense it, because it wasn't an official youth event, so I didn't expense it. The hot dogs came out of my own pocket. But it taught me a really satisfying lesson. That one took a while. It taught me a very satisfying lesson, and that is, there is a deep joy that comes out of people gathered together for an important task and seeing it through to the end. And me and Johnny there and some of the youth, we got it done, and we could look back at what we had finished, and we said, this is good. We all work together, and this is what's come out of it. And that's a lot of what I want to talk about today, and that's working together for really, really important things. So the kids are in the service now, and I'm gonna let you guys, massage your brains a little bit and answer a question. So I'm going to give you some clues. You're going to tell me who we're talking about today, okay? So if I say he was a prophet, is that enough of a clue? What if I said he was a prophet and a priest? Would that be enough of a clue?
Yes, it would be.
Pardon me?
Yes, it would be.
It would be, okay. But Les, you're not a kid, so we're gonna. If you're holding a pizza box, who said that? You just blew my whole intro.
Keep going, Max. Just keep going. Keep going.
Ellie Belfour. So I am talking about Samuel today. And he was indeed a prophet, he was indeed a priest, he was indeed the final judge of Israel. He had a lot going on. But church, before all of that, young Samuel was called by God. And that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about God's calling on the youth of Calvary Chapel. And not only that, but that God's calling on the youth of Calvary Chapel requires all of us to see that through. We all have a part to play in the children of Calvary hearing from the Lord and that changing their life. And that's what we want to go through today. And see, as children's ministry is about to begin again, I'm sorry, I'm going to say children's ministry a few times today. It's winding up again, as you've seen through my gentle, gentle emails. Right? Amen. And what's a bigger joy? What's a bigger challenge for us? What's a bigger obligation than that each kid who comes through these doors would hear the call of God and that it would change their life? And we all have a part to play in that. So let's read together. It's 1 Samuel chapter 3. I trust that you are going to give me grace if I ever say Sammy or Sambo or something like that. I live with it every day. So some of those may come out. We'll get that on the screen for everyone to follow along. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you've called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Well, church, if you look through all this, Samuel was a church kid. You see, he had been dropped off by his mother at around between 2 and 4 years old. And he'd been in the temple the whole time. At the time of his calling, he was roughly 12 years old. So he had spent all those time, anywhere from 3 till 12, ministering and living in the temple, doing various jobs there for Eli, the priest. And in this passage, we're witnessing a conversation between God, Eli, and Samuel that is a beautiful picture for all that we're trying to do with the kids of Calvary Chapel. And that's what I want to focus on today. So, kids, if the pizza boxes run out, this message is almost fully about you. It's also about parents. It's also about volunteers. And it's definitely about the Lord. But in this conversation that we see here in chapter 3, there's just a great picture of all that we want to do in children's ministry this year and the years to come. And it's our prayer that this conversation gets played out every Sunday in varying degrees here at Calvary as well. So what I want to do is I want to go through each part of the conversation, and I want to just highlight what we can learn from each different member in the conversation, okay? So we're going to start with God. So unlike the picture of Samuel and Eli, God is still God in this picture, okay? So the first point is God calls Samuel by name to raise up the nation of Israel. At the time of Samuel's calling, Israel was a mess. Really, just to say it very plainly, Israel was a mess. They were under the hand of the Philistines. They were worshiping false idols. They had run out of judges. They had no leader. And unfortunately, their spiritual health was even worse. The temple was run by corrupt priests that would steal sacrifices from the people and from a high priest that did nothing to curb his sons in. So as much as the nation was in trouble, the temple, which should have been the strength of Israel, was even worse off. And the beautiful thing about God in this is God, in calling Samuel, was saying, "Okay, Israel, this needs to stop. I see you, Israel. I see all the things that are going on here. And I'm raising up a leader who's going to come and do my work, who's going to lead you." And that was Samuel's calling in that. You see, Samuel, as we talked about in the beginning, had a massive role. He started as a prophet. He worked as a priest. And he judged the nation of Israel. And in fact, he was the leader of one of the hugest transitions for a nation. They went from a period of judges to a king, one single king. First in Saul and then in David. And Samuel had massive authority with these people. He was the one that called, through God, called the king into being, and is the one that would call the king out in Saul as well. But I don't know if Samuel saw this coming when he said, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." See, often when God calls us, we don't get the whole picture. Kids, do you ever notice that your parents sometimes will ask you just to straight up obey? Did they ever say, "Because I said so"? Does that happen? Am I seeing some nodding there? Some that are too scared to nod? No? Mia's raising her hand because her parents are about 3,000 miles away. You know, sometimes our parents just want us to say yes. That can happen when God calls us. Just yes. And I just want to talk about real quick the importance of God calling Samuel by name. He used his name every single time and frequently. And I believe this is for a couple of reasons. See, God wasn't calling just anyone to save the people of Israel. He wanted Samuel to do it. It was a specific calling at a specific time for a specific 12-year-old boy. It wasn't, who can do this for me? It was, Samuel, I have great work for you. And what we can learn by that is God's calling in our life is often greatly, greatly personal. It's for you. It's for me. It's not always for us. A specific calling is a beautiful thing by the Lord. And the second part to that is to call Samuel by name, is to comfort him and tell him, I see you, I'm with you, you're not alone. This great calling that I'm asking of you, we're going to do together. I know you, Samuel, by name. This is Isaiah 44. Thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you from the womb, and who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. And Yeshurun is a poetic word of calling Israel upright or straight. And in this, the prophet is not only calling Israel out, but helping to shape them as they go. You, Israel, as I have called you, will be upright and straight, first in my eyes and in my calling. So it's very significant that Samuel was called by name. But this calling of God, is this true for us? You see, there are two callings. When we say being called by God, there are two callings to speak of. And the first is simply that we are called His children. And when we receive Him in faith, we are now children of God. That's in 1 John chapter 3. In love, we are called children of God, and so we are. And the second calling is a calling of action. So the first is a calling of being. You are my son. The second is a calling of action, to go, to be. Isaiah 6, 8, whom shall I send? Who will go, says the Lord. So the second calling that God will ask of us, and Samuel, I believe, got them both at the same time, is a calling of action, a calling of going. So Samuel's first call was to be a prophet. Do we know what our call is? What is God calling us to? So we've looked at God in this conversation between God, Eli, and Samuel. And now we want to look at Samuel himself. So this is especially for the kids. See, as this story plays out in Calvary Chapel, you kids play the part of Samuel every week. Those that we really seek and work to have the calling of God in their lives. So who remembers? How many times did God call Samuel? How many times? Anybody know? Three times? Okay. Does anybody else know? Anybody over here? Did somebody say four? You said four? Four times. You know, even if we wouldn't have known Samuel's age, we would have known that this would have been a kid. Adults aren't doing anything four times. See, an adult probably would have taken his pillow and would have put it over his ears and would have turned around after the second calling and said, I don't know what I ate before I went to bed, but this isn't working. Four times God called Samuel. What a beautiful testimony to the relationship. You know, Eli gets a bad rap, and I'm going to get into Eli yet. He gets a real bad rap, and a lot of it's deserved. But what a beautiful relationship between Samuel and Eli, and seeing the interaction between them. Three times he goes back, four times he hears. And see, here's the truth in this for you kids. As I said before, Samuel had been in the church for about 8 years at that point. Who's been in Calvary Chapel for more than 8 years? Or 8 years? All right, that was probably just for the kids. But that's all right. Audience interaction is a good thing. 8 years he'd been in the temple and did not yet understand the word and the voice of God. And there's a lesson in this. See, we're not going to automatically hear the voice of God when he calls us. We need help in that. It needs to be discerned. We need to understand it. So we're not going to catch it right away. You kids don't have to worry about catching God's will for your life, God's voice all the time. There are people around that will help you. And what does Samuel say? He says this, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." As I said before, it pleases our parents when sometimes we can just straight up say, "Yes, Mom, I'll do what you asked. Yes, Dad, I'll do what you asked." That's pleasing to our parents. And I just want to let you guys know that although Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears," we can agree with God's voice and his will for our life by an amen. See, us saying amen, and you guys are free to say amen in children's ministry as often as you want, is us saying, "I hear you, Lord, and I agree what you're saying. Keep speaking." That's our amen. That's our yes, Mom. That's our yes, Dad. Amen. There's lots of room for amens in children's ministry. So kids, do we believe that God still speaks to us today? Is God still a God that speaks? Yeah. If we agree that he speaks, do we think that we can hear him? And that he's talking directly to us? So yeah, he speaks, and he's talking directly to us sometimes. And see, kids, God wants to do really, really big things in your life. And he wants you to start by saying, "Speak, Lord, yeah, I hear you. I like what you're saying. I want to hear more. I'm listening. Speak, for your servant hears." And kids, don't let this worry you, but sometimes the calling of God on our lives can be a little freaky. Because as we're going to get into in a little while, Samuel's first order of business was a little bit messy. See, he had to give the word of God to his mentor, to his guide, to somebody who was in authority over his life. Can you guys imagine doing that? Can you guys imagine standing up in class and saying, "Sorry, Mr. Teacher or Mrs. Teacher, but that conflicts with the word of God. And I just can't help but get up now and say something about it. Because as I was sitting here, God spoke, and me, his servant, heard him. And I just can't sit down and let this happen." Imagine saying that to your teacher. Your Sunday school teacher. Oh man, that would be freaky. They're loving and intimidating all at the same time. So are we ready to obey the word of God in our life, his calling, even if it's scary. It's the third part of the conversation. So we've talked about God. We've talked about Samuel being a picture of our kids. Now we want to talk about Hannah, who's actually not in the story at all in chapter 3, but plays a huge part. Hannah, Samuel's mother. And I want to talk to the parents about this. You see, Hannah and Elkanah, his dad, aren't in chapter 3 at all. But chapter 3 doesn't happen without chapter 1 and 2. Do you guys know the story of Hannah? So Hannah, brokenhearted, unable to have a child, prays passionately that God would give her one. And God hears her cry and provides one. But in Hannah's prayer, she says, I will give him back to you. I will consecrate him to you if you give me a son. What a crazy prayer. Beautiful prayer. And she did just that after Samuel was weaned. Now, if you guys don't know what being weaned is, it simply means after you've been weaned, you can chew. Okay? So Samuel would have been able to eat goat at that point. All right? Before it was liquids, after weaned, goat is now available on the menu, okay? And that would have simply mean they were giving a reference to his age. He would have been between 2 and 4 years old. This didn't mean that Samuel was out of the lives of Hannah, though. Didn't mean that. You see, it says in 1 Samuel 2:19 that every year Hannah would make a robe for her son. And in this little picture of Hannah making a robe every year is a really, really beautiful picture of how we parent. You see, Hannah didn't move on. She didn't check herself out. She prayerfully asked for a son and then prayerfully and obediently gave him back. You see, as passionate as the prayers would have been for Hannah to get Samuel, I believe they were more passionate after. Her son that was taken, that was given to the Lord in obedience, a beautiful act, she now would sit and think and dream and pray as she held up that yarn or whatever she used, that material, day after day, thinking, is this the right size for him now? Will this fit him now? What a beautiful avenue for her to flood prayers into those things. Because Hannah had to give that baby up, but in no way did she give up him as her son. That would have stayed with her. And often as parents, that's a burden we have to bear. We have to understand that sometimes all we can do is pray for our children and give them to the Lord. And be the one that holds that as they're away from us. She did it beautifully. So parents, are we passionately pleading for our kids? Are we pleading that our kids would completely sell out for God? That they would take hold of Christ first and only and throughout and for the sake of everything else, hold him near. It's a burden that we gladly can bear. Are we praying that they would be full of the Spirit and empty of the world as they pursue tasks of anything, of pastoring, of evangelizing, of owning a business? Church, I want to thank you from myself and from all of the children's ministry that you entrust your kids to us every week. If you guys think, well, we just drop them off. Simple handoff, transaction. It's not that simple. You see, first and foremost, you are responsible for the spiritual lives of your kids. But on a Sunday morning, for that hour, you are partnering with us here at Calvary Chapel. You are trusting us with your children. You are trusting us with their spiritual lives and their spiritual development. You're inviting us to come alongside of you. It's a simple transaction that, depending on how many hallway monitors we have up there, can take real quick or a few minutes, right? But it's so important. And all of us upstairs take that really seriously. I think they do downstairs too. But we want to thank you for that. And as much as I've said that parenting is praying and releasing our kids to God, it's not in any way watching on the sidelines. See, we are first and foremost at the front lines of our children's spiritual walks. We are the front lines. And we don't have to do it alone, but we have a huge part to play. So I just want to give you a couple of questions. How can we reinforce into our kids what they're hearing at Sunday school on a weekly basis? How do we reinforce that? Is the gospel being confirmed at our homes, at our tables, at our bedsides? And in love. In love, is Sunday school a surprise or a review for our kids? So in this call of God in our kids' life, we have God who has stayed the same, who is constant. We have a beautiful picture of Samuel obeying and having faith for his age that God is calling him, relying on the people who are around him. We have Hannah's sacrifice and service and faith. And we have Eli, who serves as a picture for the volunteers and guides around us, those in children's ministry. You see, if you look back in the story of Samuel, Eli got it wrong quite a bit. And he had very rebellious sons that were really hurting the cause of Jesus and the cause of God in the temple. And Eli, instead of fighting against that, took a very passive role. But in Samuel, this imperfect leader saw what God was doing eventually. It took him three times, but he did see it. See, it was Eli's wise counsel that told Samuel to go back to his bed and to reply to God as he was calling. You know, sometimes when we're playing sports, or for me it's football, and you know, you drop a few passes, a couple of fumbles, you know, you got the dropsies going on and it's just not working, you might not see the ball for a while, right? Amen? Might have to be on the bench or the piece of grass that acts as the bench when your friends shut you out of the game plan. God didn't shut Eli out of the game plan. He gave him a beautiful chance with Samuel, as much as he dropped it in the past. So to volunteers, I want to say a couple of things. And there's a great overlap here, because it's not just volunteers that influence the lives of our children. It's parents first and foremost. So I want to talk to all, really everyone who is a spiritual guide, aunts, uncles, grandparents, over the lives of our kids, I want to say a few things. The first is this: don't count yourself out because of past failures. See, Eli didn't hold his sons responsible, and it took him 3 times to understand that God was speaking. But he got it right eventually. And as much as we failed, as much as we've gotten it wrong, don't count yourself out if you've gotten it wrong for a period. God is still working. God can still use you. One of the major things that we need to do for our kids is to help them discern the voice of God in their life. As parents, as volunteers, we want to help them discern the voice of God. See, Samuel on his own had no idea that God was calling him. He needed Eli to come alongside of him and help him. And we have great opportunities to help discern the voice of God at our kitchen table, doing yard work, bedside as we're praying with them, telling them goodnight. These are all awesome opportunities for us to help discern the voice of God in our kids' lives, because God is talking to them. We want to take every opportunity to point our kids to Jesus. Every opportunity. See, Eli didn't say a lot to Samuel, but he did help him position himself, saying, "Speak, for your servant hears." Helped him position himself. And I want to say this, that years and years and years of service, of faith, can be won in moments. It's the little moments of life, the little learning opportunities, the little opportunities to pray, the little opportunities to affirm that can bring a fruit of years and years of faithful service. So as we help our kids discern the voice of God, as we don't let our past failures count us out, we want to look for those little moments that we have with our kids in the classroom, at home, that can establish years and years of service. And we want to constantly point them to Jesus. See, I've been just profoundly impacted by the last, it feels like, 6 months that the Olympics have been on. I don't think it's been 6 months, but I think they're over today. But these people run for 2 minutes. They run for 2 minutes, and they trained for 4 years, 6 days a week, 3 times a day, and they ran for 2 minutes. And just how I said that the little minutes affect the years affect the minutes. And all those years of training and training and training prepared them for these 2 minutes here, these 2 minutes there. And we don't know the minutes that our kids are going to be called into. But some of those little minutes really, 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 really matter. And it's that years of training that will help them in those times. And I want to say this as we close. Just as the Olympics needs so much training, there's partnership in that training. See, all of the trainers and coaches that go alongside the athletes must be supported by the training and support and sacrifice of the parents. If one of those things are not in line, the athlete will not do well. And just for the spiritual lives of our kids, it's partnership between the volunteers and leaders of Calvary Chapel and the parents of Calvary Chapel. It's a partnership for the faith and life and knowledge of the Lord in our kids. And we're really, really, really happy to partner with you. And partnership, goes two ways. See, I was at the kitchen table with my son today, and we gave him some cantaloupe, and he knows two words. He knows mine, and he knows share. And they don't mean exactly what you think they do. See, mine means what it does. This is mine. Share means I don't want this anymore. Let's share it so I don't need to have it. So he wanted to share his fruit. He didn't want the fruit. But church, we are sharing the opportunity and the privilege to usher in the youth of Calvary Chapel in a life-saving faith and a lifelong service. We are sharing that together. It is a partnership. I was deeply, deeply, deeply impacted when Dave Kaler stood up here and called out his Sunday school teacher and said, "Look at me now, you had such a role to play." And he got to honor his teacher that years ago knit into his life. And church, I hope for my son that he can stand up one day in front of you and say, "You taught me how to pray. You introduced me to the Holy Spirit. You laid hands on me when I was sick, and you let me lay on hands on somebody else." And that doesn't mean that my wife and I are off the hook, that you guys need to raise my son, or that I need to raise yours. But it's a labor of love that we do together. I want as many of you that are willing to have a hand in my son's spiritual life and physical life. I give you that authority right now. And all of us at Children's Ministry take that upon ourselves too. And we care deeply for your kids. We want to see them succeed. We want to see them grow. We want to see them do well. And we're all in this together. So church, we are committed to being a part of your kids' spiritual growth. Because it really does take a village to raise a child. You guys up for the challenge? Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for each kid that is here, each parent, each grandparent, each aunt and uncle, each volunteer. And Lord, all of that works because of you. We all have a part to play in the calling of our children, but we're all equally dependent on your power and strength and Holy Spirit to do that. Would you help us in this coming year as we seek to point our kids further and further to Jesus? Give us grace and love as we do that, Lord. Would you change lives through the children's ministry? We pray in Jesus' name.